Hey guys, it's Eva and I'm here with a new episode of Currently Binging, the podcast where I talk all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. We are pretty much everywhere you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. So make sure you subscribe, rate, comment, all that good stuff. And we are going to jump right into this. So on this episode, we will be discussing Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I was sitting here and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like even though there aren't that many MCU movies coming out, I still feel like I've talked about the MCU so much that I have so much content for you guys to listen to. So, so in preparing for this, I was like, okay, Eva, how can we discuss this in a succinct way and not reiterate or touch on anything that I previously discussed, because we just had Infinity War. So if you want all my thoughts on that, you can go ahead to that episode and listen to it. I also did an episode where I pretty much did a mind dump of my thoughts on the MCU up to this point. And so Ant-Man and the Wasp is the second to last movie before we get Avengers 4, which is still untitled. And Avengers 4 is in a lot of ways going to wrap up what I call an era of Marvel leading into a new era, whatever that may look like. I mean, we've had, it's been 10 years now of the MCU, and you guys know how excited I am to see how this all ends and how also hesitant I am because I'm very much emotionally tied to this universe. So without further ado, let's just get right into this. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, it came out July 6th domestically. It opened opening weekend. It did almost 76 million domestically, so 75.8 million domestically, and it did about 85.8 million globally. So together, that's about like over 160 million altogether opening weekend. As of today, domestically, we are at about 136.6 million. That's total domestic. And total gross for global is 150.9 million. You guys, I'm looking at the raw data right here. Usually I try to just go and get the already combined numbers, but this is not opening weekend, so I kind of had to go to get the raw numbers. And so I'm like doing math in my head. So yeah, that's where we're sitting at. As far as scores, because you guys know I like to make sure that I cover all of those bases. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 86% and it has an A- cinema score. So I mean, I think those are pretty decent numbers as far as ratings. I can't really, you know, I like to give my rating, I'm doing air quotes at the end, but I mean, I can't really argue with that, those ratings. I mean, I think that's sounds about right. But yeah, let's get into the actual meat and potatoes of it. So a lot of people were wondering, where was Ant-Man while watching Infinity War? And we got like a little blurb about where he was. We pretty much found out that Scott Lang was on house arrest due to the events that happened in Civil War. So we pretty much pick up not that far after what happened in Civil War. So I know I feel like when I start talking timelines on these things, my brain just starts going in different directions to try to keep the timeline straight. So we start not that far after Civil War. Scott Lang is on house arrest. He has pretty much fallen out with Hope and Pym, and we're just like, okay, what is going on? They're not talking to him because he pretty much took the suit and went off and did this mission and got caught. And pretty much now the police are after Hope and her father, and they're not too happy about it because now they have to pretty much live in hiding. So while all this is happening, they're not talking to each other, but Hope and Pim are still trying to find Hope's mother, because after the events that happened in Ant-Man a couple of years ago, when Scott went into the quantum realm and he came back, Hank is like, okay, that means that his wife, Janet, could still possibly be alive, because if we remember from there, they told us a little bit that she shrunk down so small to such a small size that you get in. Now we're talking science, guys, so forgive me. Like I always say, which I forgot to give my warning, but like I always say, I am not the expert in this, especially when we start talking science. I just enjoy these movies. I am not a comic book expert. I can count on one hand how many comic books I have read, but as far as the movies, I just really enjoy them, and I just do a lot of research on it and then pretty much just give my thoughts on it. So when we start talking science, I may say something that is completely wrong. Don't torch me, guys. Just go with it. And if you have any call outs, be nice about it. But yeah, so she shrunk to such a small size that she goes into the quantum realm and she got lost in it, and Hank thought she was dead all this time. And then Scott goes and comes back and he's like, okay, no, maybe she could be alive. So that's pretty much the storyline, if you will, of this movie, is them trying to get to the quantum realm to, one, see if Janet is still there, and then two, save her. So then we're like, okay, that's all good and dandy, but who is the villain? And I feel like they try to give us a couple of villains. It's kind of like two villains going on at the same time. One, I think, worked better than the other. So one was like the main one, Ghost or Ava. And she pretty much had this, her father, he used to work with Pym, and he was trying to do this, something happened, they had a falling out, he got fired and from SHIELD, I believe, and then he tried to do it on his own and caused this huge explosion that pretty much killed him and her mom, and it made her not phase with reality. So she was like phasing between realities. I don't know what it's called, like phasing between the realm and the real world. I don't know if that's a thing, but kind of like that, like she wasn't a solid person. There was no weight to her. And so we have her, and she is also being helped by Dr. Bill Foster, played by Lawrence Fishburne, which I don't think I've actually ever really discussed Lawrence Fishburne on this podcast, but like I put him up there with like legendary. So when I saw him, I was like, okay, who are you going to be? And he actually didn't end up being as bad as of a character as he could have been. I feel like lately, a lot of his roles, he's been more on the nice, sweeter side. Because, you know, I'm used to him being like, take no prisoners or take lots of prisoners. But yeah, so she's being helped by him. So that's like one side of it. And then we had another side, which... So while Hope and Hank were trying, I just realized both of their names start with the H. That was so random. But anyway, so while Hope and Hank are trying to figure out if Janet is still alive, they make these dealings with this guy, Sonny, who, I don't know, he's giving me kind of mob vibes, kind of like, you know, when... I don't know if it's necessarily mob, but you know, like corrupt business slash mob. So yeah, he's giving me those types of vibes. So pretty much he had made a deal with some pretty dangerous people, because he was under the assumption that whatever Hank and Hope were working on, it was going to be super valuable and he was going to get his hands on it. So we have them also being chased by him. So they all end up getting back connected, Hank, Hope, and Scott, because from when Scott went into the quantum realm, he had a connection, or a connection was made between him and Janet. So she was pretty much using him to speak through to her family to pretty much say, hey, I'm still here. So all this is happening. They're trying to get this one part, but Ghost or Ava is also trying to get this one part because she just wants to be a real human, or she wants to phase with reality. And so the only way that she thinks that she can do that, and this is based on guidance from Dr. Bill, is that she has to, when they go to, and now we're getting to deep science, so I'm like literally not even going to try to say what it is that they have to do to get Janet back. But whenever she's coming back, they use that energy to push into Ava, and she'll be a real person, but in return, that would kill Janet. So we have all this stuff going on. At the same time, we also find out that Scott has started a side business with his three amigos, who we are quite familiar with from the first one, which is Louis, played by Michael Pena, Kurt, played by David Dasmalchian, which I feel, or oh, there was a spot on there, David Dasmalchian. And then also Dave, played by T.I. So they didn't have as big of a presence as I felt like they had, at least initially in the first movie. But towards the end of it, we did get to see more of them, which I really enjoy because I do think that they added a lot of the humor to it. We did get a lot of Michael Pena's character, Louis, which from the first movie, he seemed to be one of the fan favorites or the standouts, and they really utilized him to get some of those laughs in this movie. As far as laughing, I felt like there was a lot of laughter throughout the movie, especially when Louis was talking or was going to tell a story, people were laughing at it. A lot of the things that Paul Rudd did as Scott, people were laughing about it because he's on house arrest, and then they have like this huge aunt who's supposed to be simulating him. So that got a lot of laughs. When Janet is talking through Scott, that got a lot of laughs. And I actually really enjoyed that because while he was talking through her, yeah, it was funny and kind of hilarious, but then it was also kind of like, okay, it came off as believable. Because sometimes some of those things, like Ant-Man in itself is different in this franchise, and I kind of sometimes liking it to Guardians of the Galaxy, where Guardians of the Galaxy has their own thing and it's kind of punky and fun and bright and funny. And I feel like Ant-Man is also, it's like heisty and but still like comedic, and I don't know, it just has its own little thing. So during that scene, I appreciated that while it was humorous, it still was believable. And that was actually one of my favorite scenes, when they get to the point where they're actually, where Janet comes through Scott's body and is like, takes over and is like, no, you need to do this, 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 and this, and this is where you'll find me. You have to do it by this time. Like, I appreciated that. I also feel like with Ant-Man in himself, because if you think about everyone in the franchise, all of our heroes in the franchise, and just the different movies, or can you say franchise within a franchise, but different movies or stories within this franchise, I feel like Ant-Man is the most familial in a sense, or the most centered or based around family, because you have Hank and Hope and now Janet, and then you have Scott and Cassie, and then Cassie's mom and her stepdad, and it's just like this whole family thing where I feel like Guardians also kind of has a family thing, but it's kind of like a like the new normal, if you will, type of family, whereas in Ant-Man this one feels more generational. So I really appreciate that aspect of it as well. I'm trying to think of what else, because I feel like I always just go straight into the different parts of the movie, but I wanted to discuss some of the other things about the movie that I liked outside of just the story and the villains and all that stuff. But yeah, I think also another standout for me was Cassie, because I'm not that familiar with the comics, but apparently in the comics, she becomes a hero in her own right. And it kind of feels like I could see that from the movie if they wanted to eventually go in that direction, just based on her being like, oh, I'm going to be your sidekick and I'm going to help you and like covering for our father. I just thought like she was super adorable. And that actress who plays her, Abby Ryder Fortson, is like the cutest little thing. And she does so well with that role. And now this second movie and I'm still like, that girl, she, and you guys know my feelings on child actors for the most part, but I just think she does a really great job playing Cassie and being that like sweet young daughter who's like who's very protective of her father. So I thought that was very cute. What else? But as far as the storyline in itself, I enjoyed it. For some reason, I feel like this year, a lot of the storylines and a lot of the things that I've been watching, whether it's movies or series, because I didn't get to talk about Jessica Jones, but that comes to mind. Luke Cage kind of comes to mind. Like a lot of these movies and TV shows where there's a villain and you're like, oh, that's the villain. But then something about that villain story kind of touches you and you're like, but aren't they really a villain? Like, I can see why they feel that way. You kind of start to feel for them. And I feel like it's the same thing in this with Ava, because she didn't ask for this. Like, her father did an experiment and she's literally been living a majority of her life in pain and she just wants the pain to go away. And you just feel for her and you kind of feel bad for feeling for her, but then you're like, but no, she's in pain. She did not ask for this. And so I feel like that was kind of the feeling I got from this villain, where it was like, oh, she starts off as a villain, but then you hear her story and you kind of connect with her a little bit. And then towards the end, you're like, okay, now help her. And you're okay with them helping her because you kind of feel bad for her. So that was kind of her journey. Whereas the mob crew, you don't really get any feelings attached to them, because I feel like they were just like your regular run of the mill mob crew who gets caught in the end. So yeah. But I did like the story. I did like that Janet is back. And like I said, this took place not that long after Civil War. Scott is on house arrest. And of course we know that the aunt is simulating his movements. And so that was funny in itself. And that got a lot of laughs as well, as I mentioned. But I never had a feeling where I felt like he was going to get caught not being at the house. I just knew whenever they showed up, the police showed up, he would in some way be there in time before they showed up. So that for me wasn't really a worry. So the entire movie, I'm like, okay, how are we going to tie this into Infinity War? Because we know he was in Infinity War. We know that Ant-Man is supposed to play a big role in defeating Thanos in Avengers 4, at least we think we know. I mean, I would need to because you guys know I try to not read spoilers. So I don't know if that's like confirmed or if that's just me reading all these articles and they're all melding together in my head. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be a big part in saving everyone. But so let's just go with he is. And I'm like, so how do we get to here? And we all know what happened at the end of Avengers Infinity War, when Thanos snapped his fingers and all of our favorite heroes and like half the population disappeared into nothingness. So as soon as we get to the end, as soon as we get through the movie, we get to the end and they pretty much wrap it up with a nice bow. Janet is back. She's back and she has like these powers, these healing powers, which I think is really interesting. And I kind of want to see more of this and how it's going to be used in future movies or whatever. But she has these healing powers and she's reunited with her family. And then Scott, he's off of house arrest and him and his family are doing great. And then we have Ava, who is getting, who they're pulling particles from the quantum realm to heal her, to keep her from, to keep her in phase with reality. And now we're at the, and it's like, okay, and we're done. I was like, okay, so that means the end credit scenes, we are going to get the tie-in to Infinity War. And we go and we're in this parking lot, it looks like. And we have Janet, we have Hank, we have Hope, we have Scott in there at the van, the Scott's company van, and they have shrunken the like the vessel. Is it still called a quantum realm? Don't stab me, folks. But we have like a smaller contraption compared to the contraption that we've had in the actual movie. And this one fits into the trunk of the car. And so we have this whole dialogue and Hank is like, so you're going to go in? And Janet's like, give him some guidance. And they're like, you're going to go in. You're going to get some of these particles because they needed to help Ava to keep her I feel like saying in phase with reality is like so weird, but to keep her in phase with reality, they need these particles from the quantum realm. So that is what Scott is going to collect. And I was like, okay. So he shrinks, he goes in there. And once he's in there, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, this is when they're all going to disappear. And lo and behold, Scott gets the particles. He's like, okay, beam me back, let's go. And no one's answering. And then we go back out to the parking lot and we see that they have all disappeared due to Thanos' snap. And Scott is stuck in the quantum realm and he has no way to get back. And then the second post-credit scene is of his aunt simulator who is playing the drums and the phone is ringing. So someone is calling for him. So there are so many different ways that we can go with this, guys. We know that time is going to have to play a huge part in Avengers 4 because we're going to have to go back in time in some way to bring people back. So taking that, putting it on the shelf, we know that's going to happen at some point. The quantum realm, we don't really just, I'm saying we as in viewers of the movies. So taking out the comic books or any other information that could be in the comic book, just focusing on what we know from watching these movies, we as a viewer don't really have that much information about what exactly the quantum realm can do. We've seen some of what it could do based off of Scott going there and coming back, and then Janet going and coming back and she has all these powers. But we also know based on some of the information that's been told to us from Hank and also Hope that you can pretty much go in there, lose reality of time, all this time can pass and you can come back and you can still look the same age. Or in Janet's case, it's because she didn't go deep enough, she ended up still aging and coming back, but she's still kind of lost. So like all of these time possibilities, and this is when we start to get messy. I feel like when we start talking sci-fi-er than what we're already talking is when we start trying to talk about time, because for some reason, time is a tricky thing. And I have confidence that however this plays out is going to play out in a way that will be understandable, hopefully, for us as viewers. But I'm just going to use Once Upon a Time as an example, which is probably a bad example. But like 7 seasons, and they used to tell us like when things happen at certain times and all this stuff. And then as we got into deeper seasons, it started just saying a very long time ago or sometime in the past, like not even referencing time because time is a messy thing. So I think, because I discussed this with my brother, if you listened when this was Glam Deets, I did have him do an episode with me before. I don't even remember which episode it was. I believe it was a Marvel movie, but yeah. Because I was talking to him and I was like, okay, because he's like, oh, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, okay, but I still feel like Scott can get out of the quantum realm on his own based off of what happened in the first Ant-Man when he shrunk all the way down and then he was able to come back when he heard Cassie's voice, I believe. So I was like, I feel like he can get out of it. But then also I was reading, shout out to Screen Rant, I was reading some article that they had where they were talking about how this would tie into Avengers 4. And apparently we're going to get a slightly older Cassie. So however or whenever he gets out of, Scott gets out of the quantum realm, is it then going to be that Cassie's older, a little bit older, and then he's going to go all the way back in time? I don't know. It's just so many. Even in my brain trying to discuss it, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like we can go so many different ways with this. So, I mean, either he can get out of it himself or he's going to lose track of time and he's somehow, there's a time jump and somehow, some way he gets out of it and then they go back in time. I don't know. And then who is calling the house? I feel like there could be so many possibilities on who's calling the house. And then also, who of the heroes who did not disappear even know that Ant-Man exists and would actually call them? Iron Man can't call him. Iron Man is in space by himself. I don't even know how he's going to get back because I don't think he could fly, like just straight fly the suit back through the atmosphere of space, because I'm pretty sure it would ruin the suit. So he can't call him. And like, can you even make calls from planet to planet? Is that even a thing? So I'm going to rule out Iron Man on that one. Who's still there? We have Steve. Steve is still there. So, I mean, he could call him and be like, listen, we need your help. But like, he's calling the house and he's not answering. So that could be a possibility because Steve is the one whose team that Scott was on. And he was very excited about letting everyone know that he was on Team Cap America. But so that's a possibility. It's not Nick Fury because he disappeared and he was trying to send a signal to Captain Marvel. So I highly doubt that she knows who he is. So, I mean, the only person who's left, Hulk is left, Banner, but he wasn't a part of Civil War, so he wouldn't even know who Scott is. Was Thor still left behind? Well, he wouldn't know either because he wasn't in Civil War. So yeah, the only people in Civil War who would even know about Scott to even reach out would be Cap or Tony. And I don't think it's Tony because Tony's in space somewhere. And it could be Cap, but like, I don't know. Or it's not even any of them. And it's like his daughter, like, yo, dad, are you still here? Or like someone random, like someone from his crew, like Louis. So many possibilities. But yeah, I feel like I could just sit here and try to figure out who's calling him for forever. But that's pretty much all I have to say about this movie. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. I would see it definitely again. I've only seen it once because I have not had time to see it again. But I would definitely see it again. And I do think that this is one of those movies like the first one, which will be enjoyable to watch at home multiple times. And so as far as scores, I'm going to give it a B plus. Yeah. That's just my score. But yeah, that's all I have to say about Ant-Man and the Wasp. I am, like I've said on previous Marvel related episodes, I am super excited to see where we go in Avengers 4. I would really like for them to give us a name. Comic-Con is coming up this upcoming weekend. I'm pretty sure they're going to be there, so I am assuming that is when we will get the reveal for the name and get some type of a trailer situation. But if not, then I don't know when else we would get it. Honestly, you guys know how I feel about trailers. I feel like even getting it now is still pretty early, but I would watch the first one. So this is how I do. I'll watch the first trailer, and then I'll watch the first official mini trailer, and then that's it. I'm not watching any other versions of the trailer because I don't need all those spoilers. But so if we don't get the name for Avengers 4 during Comic-Con, then is there anything else coming up before? I mean, we would have to get the name way before Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel comes out, I believe it comes out in February, which is a couple of months before Avengers 4. So we would have to get the name way before that. So yeah, I don't know. Any guesses on what the name is? I have no clue at all. I feel like whatever the name is, because they're keeping it so tight-lipped, it might have a clue or two in it. And once they release it, there are going to be a bajillion articles dissecting the name of Avengers 4. But yeah, I don't know what the name is, but I'm super excited. I cannot wait. The only movie we have next up before Avengers 4 is Captain Marvel, and that's in the new year, early in the new year. So we get a little bit of a break. Utilize this time if you have not gone back to the beginning and watched every single movie. I'm not going to do that again, because I did that before Infinity War. And you guys, when I say that that is a lot, I think that I don't need to do that again for a long time, because also I took so many notes on it that if I do want to go back and be like, oh, what was this? When did this happen? I could just refer to my notes, because if you have not listened to my MCU Mind Up episode, I highly recommend it, because there is so much in that. And yeah, so that's all I have to say. If you have seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, let me know what you thought about it. What do you think the name of Avengers 4 is going to be? How does Scott get out of the quantum realm? What are your theories? I want to know it all. I'm on social media everywhere at InHerGlam, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next one.